Hi, welcome to the Good Fortune Show with Ray Trujillo. This is Sugandhi Iyer, and I am bringing Ray into the show. She is your host or hostess, and you know, you can feel free to call us in anytime. You can call in and ask her questions and pick her brain if you want to, or mine. This is Sugandhi Iyer. I am the author of Joyful Manifestation and the host of the Joyful Manifestation Show that happens across the Good Fortune Show every other Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So here we are bringing Ray Trujillo in. And Ray, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm delighted to be here.
And Ray, I want to start you off with one important question. You know how they say God made a man in his image. In your opinion, what do you think it really means?
Well, I do seem to adore that sentiment because I personally have observed that sentiment across the board through various experiences and in an extension of that observation in which it is extremely true that when you look around into the world, into creation, into even the most perfect, let's say, flower in the sacred geometry, in the perfect precision of a crystal and the molecules and the atoms in which it was perfectly formulated to create such an exquisite being of creation, such as a diamond, and we can extend upon that. Yet, even in the Song of Solomon, behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Such emanations in the Bible and different dogmas, different cultures, different spiritual dogmas, and I would say beautiful creation in which it is the epitome of the grand construct of what God, the universe, the Holy Spirit, and also in a cosmic field, in the cosmic realm of sacred geometry, we could just really expand on so many aspects of that. Yet that's what it represents to me, because we as humans and we as animals and creatures and the mountains, the oceans, the terrain, the clouds, the rainbows, right? The moonlight, the moon, the stars, the solar system, everything, for we are in his workmanship. We are created in his visage, the image in which the God works and God's prepared beforehand, correct? And that is the expression in which I perceive, and many others can perceive as well, that that is the image in which we should walk in and amongst that splendor, that beauty, that golden ray of light and ruby rays of light, emerald rays of light, sapphire rays of light, and so on.
So Ray, would you say God is an artist?
As an artist, I would definitely say that for other artists, correct, there is such a vision in which the divination occurs, in which the inspiration occurs, in which the muse aligns, and you know, muse is also, you know, part of the origin of music, correct? So if there's an artist that's a musician, let's say in the harmony of what compels them, what's invoked, the invitation of the realms, the divine celestial realms, the music of the spheres, correct? And then also in the artistry of creation, sculptures, artistry throughout the decades, the Renaissance, I mean, we could expand on that as well, and also with poetry in motion, in which God uses, the universe uses the voice in which the muse comes forth into the minds and the precepts and the intellect, aligned with the skill and the talent that is also an emanation of God's beauty and the creation of God's splendor into paper, form, books, audio, and also into public speaking, lectures. We could go on and on, of course, about that. But as an artist and let's say like a film actress, right? Or a film actor, in which it is a sight to behold, and also in which God has expressed, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. When we see a movie, when we see a film actress, a film actor, a stage actor, stage actress in a play, we go there to see the opera. We go to see the Bolshoi, the ballet, right? We go to, you know, experience. And that is when times when the artistry can cause one to just be so filled with such elation upon staring at such a wondrous piece of art. And everyone has a different personality, of course, and everyone has a different taste, yet collectively across the board, all of us in each capacity of our construct of the mind has a visceral and an ethereal reaction and response to music, to voice, to sound, to lyrics, to melodies, to harmony, to what we read, what we hear, what we are graced with the beautiful ballerina, with everything we can experience visually, and of course with art, and no matter what form of art. But that is all an emanation of the grand experience in which God creates us to have such an introspection, to tap into our talents and our skills, in which, yes, one could say, well, one has a God-given gift, correct? And then one may really have a God-given gift that may be latent within themselves, and then it's dormant, and then all of a sudden they try and they work hard, and then the next thing you know, they're perfecting and continuously perfecting. So from an artist's point of view, I would say that this whole world that is around us is all a construct of the grand artist, God, the goddesses. We could go into Lakshmi, we could go into the goddesses of the divine, in like Archangel Raphael, Archangel Gabriel, like the music of the spheres. We could go on and on, in which there's so much to cover, and it's so exciting to cover, but it's what makes our experiences full of that wonderment and really transcends from our emotional planes of happiness and aligns with what we are perceiving and what we are receiving, and therefore we are embodied by that mystical experience in which magic truly exists. So therefore, that is one answer I can respond with your question.
So Ray, obviously when people look at the stars and they say, let's lie down on the grass and look up at the sky and the stars, the planets, everything is colorful, everything is shiny, nothing is out of whack, so to speak, and everything is grandly made. There's no crimping. God doesn't crimp. he didn't put one star in the sky or just two and say, okay, you know what, I'm done. When he creates, he just keeps creating and creating and creating, and as they say, it's as far as your eyes can see and further beyond. And so God is about generosity and abundance. And I'm just wondering, when he is like that, and when he says he made man in his image, does it also mean that man has the potential to follow his lead, to follow God's lead? And man has the potential in the form of a seed to be great and to create amazing wonders of art and beauty, and to have his power, God's power. So would you also say that man has a potential to be God in his own way?
Absolutely. Since God has created us in his image, and one can say the goddesses and everything else, and this is by no means to limit to just one ether of thought, because there are so many. Yet where I'm going to use the example is that, yes, absolutely, that God has created the spiritual substance from which all is visibly beautiful, and there is wealth abound, and there is prosperity, and just wondrous, grand experiences, and grand, I would say, it's beyond otherworldly, in which nothing can ever be depleted. Everything is truly in an eternal compass of perpetual beauty and perpetual, literally gold dust is around and abound. And the prosperous ways of which, how nature is prosperous, correct? So when you look at the root of a tree and the root of the tree, and that tree is literally prosperous from the geo water, from the sunlight, from the chlorophyll, from various aspects of the divine nature construct. Yet when we as humans are here and existing, in which we are extremely visual, right? And we are extremely, we have all of our senses. And so our senses are truly governed through demonstration of God's gifts, in which we are all affected through this unfailing resource, which is always ready to give and to provide. And it's truly pouring the living words of faith into the omnipresent ether, so to speak. And you'll all be prospered through the banks, the karmic banks of the world. And those doors never close upon us. And that extends into beauty, into inspiration, into the manifestation from motivation, from the inspiration, from that divine supply that is unlimited and unceasing. And so when one turns the great energy of their thinking process and their mental faculties and their emotional construct with their spiritual construct, when they think and they consider upon the quote-unquote plentiful ideas, correct? Then once that is the fixation and the right thought focus, therefore the right thought reaction to that action of that focus sums up into this beautiful supreme manifestation of that you will have plenty regardless of what anyone else may say of what you're doing and what they're not saying of what you're doing, in which God resides and provides you the, let's say, the scepter wand, in which you can be the master of your universe again, because you are an image of God, the image of the goddesses, in which, yes, you are a child of me, and go forth and go seek and go and create the world to be beautiful as I intended it to be, beautiful with your thoughts, beautiful with the emanations of your smile, with a nod at someone, with a nice wink at someone, with a nice salutation of, hello, I wish you a beautiful day. And when one truly means that, and they're in that conscious state of, let's say, the repertoire of thinking goodness, thinking beautifully, thinking in joy, thinking in the magic principles in which it's aligned, that is when we transcend all that is of limitation. So when we are an embodiment of God, then why not dress up for the part, literally, figuratively, and metaphorically?
Ree, as you know, I am from Indian origin, Indian. And the gods and goddesses of India are always wearing these gorgeous silks and jewelry, completely adorned. The amount of diamonds they have on them, the amount of gold and precious gems in clothing, and the way that the gods are created, the sculptures, beautiful tiny lips and beautiful almond-shaped eyes, gorgeous hair flowing down their backs, beautiful skin. And this is how God is imagined to be. And this is how man, at least here in India, they imagine God to be completely gorgeous. And when they portray God resting or sitting on something, it'll be a throne made of many, many precious ornaments and jewels and gems and metals and divine, soft, luxurious cushions, splendor, beautiful clouds, and everything shiny and gold. So gold is very much used in drawing or representing where God might reside. So if God is imagined to be to reside somewhere, then that residence is decorated. It's decorated to infinity. It is unimaginable, the amount of gold that is shown around God, the amount of beautiful materials, soft and silky and gems and everything, and beauty as in gorgeous flowing hair, pretty lips, and perfectly shaped, curved, tiny lips, and big, beautiful eyes, and a soft expression in the eyes. Gods are shown to be good-natured and pretty and everything good, surrounded with gold and surrounded with gorgeous, gorgeous gems and amazing luxury and abundance. So when you think about that, could it be a reason why people dress up for church on Sundays? People are supposed to dress up for church. People dress up when they go to temples. People dress up when they attend religious functions, marriages, etc., etc. So everything is about the Lady of Good Fortune, Goddess of Good Fortune, reciting. What do you think, Ray? What does it bring to your mind?
Well, I agree with you about, I adore the Indian culture. I adore the beautification of everything and the splendor. It is just divine. It is astounding, truly. And it aligns with just the reverence. And when I speak of reverence, I refer to absorbing and the perception of the grandiose, yet with the reminder into everyone, in which, again, I'll refer to the flower construct, the sacred geometry, and also into jewels. And you mentioned beautiful gold and diamonds and rubies and just beautifully embellished pieces in which the gods and the goddesses are throned upon. And when you have that root core of that reverence, that reverence of perception, of that this is a reminder that you yourself, this is what you come from, this is where you've originated from, this is the genesis of yourself, this is your incarnation, this is your creation, that a God that is so beautiful and so prosperous and so rich and just all of the, let's say, attitudinal precepts in the mind of that you are absolutely pristine. You are perfect in my image, and therefore I created you. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a child of God. And wherever one may be in the world, whatever their dogma, religious preference, or their spiritual or non-belief, no one can deny that in a glorious state of anything that is in the material realm that is of beauty, correct? That if you see something that is globally beautiful, I would say that majority would agree that something is so beautiful. Who can say that a rose is not beautiful, right? They smell beautiful. They feel beautiful, like velvet, right? But when we have the parallel of how in beautiful India, right, and we have Lakshmi, so beyond ethereally gorgeous and just the divine, the epitome of just luxury, in which she represents. She is the goddess of never-ending luxurious abundance and the infinite supply. And I would also add in, from what I can attribute, is the law of increase, in which the law of increase that everything you own or that what you'd like to achieve, that you're increasing that vibration by having that reminder of what is so much of splendor. And so if we go to a church, correct, and whether or not someone's Catholic or Lutheran or Franciscan, or if they are under like a Methodist, or if they're Mormon, or if they're, you know, if any of those types of the classical legacy types of church, and we have the synagogues, and we have the various temples and the Buddhist shrines and so forth. And also, there's people who have a church within their home that they've created an altar where if they're Wiccan, if they're however that they're ascribing towards, there's always a state of beautification and respect and honoring what they're aligned with personally. And I will say that in, let's say, Catholic Church, correct? Oh, my goodness. And we're not going to go into religion. I'm just going to discuss the reference of the beautification, in which every single detail, even down to the Pope's feet, are encrusted with rubies, and the throne is, I mean, the grail, the Holy Grail, and the crowns, in which it's an emanation, it's a representation of God. And if the Pope was not so enshrined and veiled with such beautification, then how could that be a representation of God if God was not such a creator of all the divine and majestic and the mystical body incarnate of the flesh? And then we could also go into the Jewish, the mystical temple of the synagogue, in which the Torah, the everything is just elaborately beautiful. And we could go in through so many vehicles of that. Yet even if a church is simplistic in one way, the tradition is to dress up, to adorn yourself in reverence and respect of God, because God's created you in his image. So even if you are wearing your best of clothes, and one may say, well, God doesn't care what you wear, and that is, you know, up for interpretation, but it's truly what you care what you wear, because if God has made you the master of your universe and the master of yourself and your free will, and which you want to feel good, you want to be a representative of God by dressing, you know, well for the occasion, dressing to your preference, which of course emanates a resonation of good fortune, and it makes you feel better. Like, so if someone's dressing up for an interview per se, right? Even if they're interviewing for that, you know, florist position, or to work at a very highly regarded law firm, or if they're dressing up even to be, get their book published and they are meeting with an agent, everyone will dress their best. And they will always dress their best when it comes to such an important and integral part of one's life. So therefore, when they're celebrating in their spiritual constructs, of course, they're going to want to dress up. And so there is such a law of supply and deliverance, in which when you are adorning yourself, much like Lakshmi, correct? And there's so many goddesses I can refer to. Yet when we think of that, like when Botticelli painted the famous Venus, correct, emerging from the half shell, she is in splendor, she is in divinity, she is in the most awe perfection of the divine sacred feminine, with her beautiful hair flowing and everything is just right. Well, that could be an interpretation of the image of what God entails for all of us. And in the man form, in the female form, the divine sacred masculine, the divine sacred feminine, in which it merges with the yin and the yang. So I believe that there's much to do with the material supply, in which we are provided or we can acquire, and to seek and to adorn ourselves for ourselves or for a very specific occasion, and for also the glorification of ourselves. This is why people do spend quite a bit of investments, I like to classify that, investments into their wardrobe. Like, you'll hear men say, well, I'm dressing the part, correct? You'll hear women say, I'm dressing the part. Well, we dress up for ourselves, we dress up for God, because that is that sacred respect and that reverence to the divine. And you know, I'm not judging anyone who doesn't dress up the part when they don't need to. That's not that part of this discussion. We're in a very advanced introspection into just how powerful that one can alter and restore the shift within themselves into that prosperous thought action, the prosperous thought feeling, the prosperous thought receiving. And that is what I feel, in which the levels of attraction, no matter what, if someone prefers rubies over emeralds, or if they prefer silver versus gold, well, those are all emanations of abundance, and they are emanations of the divine and God's creation.
Ray, this is a reminder to everybody who's listening to the show. This is the Good Fortune Show, so we're not trying to be falsely humble over here. how would you explain humility and false humility and pride? So how would you explain, because a lot of people think that being humble is the way to go, but there is something called false humility and then being truly humble. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this.
I do. You bring up an excellent point, and let's expand on this. So there's much with a sacred form of humility, and there's much with a sacred form of quote-unquote humbleness, yes, but you bring up an excellent, I would say, the disconcerting aspect of the false humility. And the best way that I can sum that for this particular time on the show is that the negative false separative ego, in which there are limitations in the negative false separative ego, in which the mind, the precepts of the mind, the, let's say, pre-conscious decision of that, oh, well, I can't be number one. I just don't think I deserve that promotion. There's someone far better than me. No. Oh, you don't have to give me that beautiful crown or that Chanel jacket to wear. No. I don't need to drive your Lamborghini. That's okay. And I'm just using examples here. But you see, when there is the form of, in the Christ consciousness, in the right thought form, in which it transcends the, I would say, the false righteousness and what is deemed upon many of us that we are not worthy. And that is the I would say, one of the main origins of the constructs and perhaps some formative years, depending on upbringing or depending upon whatever environmentally was surrounding an individual or a group of individuals at a certain time. Yet within everyone, like if a little girl or a little boy at a certain age, and they look at He-Man and She-Ra, Princess of Power, right? The Masters of the Universe, I'll reference that, the original, and which She-Ra is absolutely just beyond beautiful. And she is powerful, she is gorgeous, she's intelligent, she has all these beautiful friends and a beautiful unicorn, and she lives in a crystal castle, and she has a magical sorceress that is her guardian angel, and there's so much of that to go into. And then we have He-Man, who is the almighty, the alpha male, that is the epitome of that divine masculine, who is good and who is just completely in the magical spectrum with his sword of just strength and nobility, much like a king, because he is emanated from, people may or may not know this, but I'll just explain, Prince Adam. And She-Ra emanates from Princess Adora, in which they are nobility, they are royal. Yet everything around them is absolutely fantastically gorgeous. They created the villages around them to be absolutely creative and gorgeous. Yet the opposite of them wants to create the, let's say, unworthy pattern. So I'm going to expand on the unworthy pattern, which is an expansion to your question about the humbleness versus the false humility. So in the false humility, in which the negative false separative ego can declare into one at a very young age or even later in life, correct? But when you have these notions that, wow, I can be a princess of power. Wow, you know, I can be He-Man, master of the universe. Wow, correct? That is that hopefulness. That is an emanation, that divine spark that says to you, regardless of what anyone has imparted upon you or didn't impart upon you, that you can be a princess, you can be a prince, you can be great, and you can be strong, and you can be noble, and you can have the great essence of the humility in which you are so fulfilled with all this gorgeous enlightenment, in which there is no room within your humility to think less of anyone else, therefore think less of yourself, you see. So there's a fine discernment there. And so when we go into the false ego of the false humility, that is the unworthy pattern in which, no, you can't be Prince Adam, you can't be He-Man, you can't grow up to be a strong and lovely, powerful man. No, you can't grow up to be a strong and lovely and beautiful, powerful woman like Princess of Power and He-Man and She-Ra. That cannot exist for you. You're just meant to be a minimal person, and I'm not speaking about decor. I'm speaking of minimal, like minimization of your self-worth. Minimization of how you perceive yourself, in which the confidence needs to be restored, the restoration of your self-love, your self-confidence, and therefore that you deserve the infinite potentials, the infinite prosperity, that you deserve everything, even if you've been told your whole entire life up until this exact moment that you are not worthy. Well, we declare right now that that is not the right thought form. The right thought form is to literally acquiesce to that the uninhibited precepts in which the worthy pattern that is aligned with that, yes, I'm capable. You know what? I do deserve that promotion. I do deserve that acceptance letter. I do deserve to be accepted into that university. I do deserve to win the gold medal. I do deserve to be the principal ballerina for the Bolshoi. I do deserve to have my artwork in the Metropolitan Gala of New York. I do deserve to play Madison Square Garden, and I do deserve to win the race. I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. And that is the opposite of the false sense of humility. That is a very healthy balance in the equilibrium spectrum in the synapses of the mind and the synapses within the cellular memory of the self, in which you're consciously reconditioning yourself, that no matter what it is, even if you wanted to garden your whole life and someone said, oh, you don't have a green thumb, you can never grow a garden. Well, guess what? With conscious effort, and when you apply the right thought action, and you dissuade and dissolve the false sense of the limited thinking, right? And you dissolve the false sense of the unworthy pattern, and you dissolve the false sense of the false humility, and you dissuade and transcend the negative fear separative ego, in which you align with your true self, your true Christ consciousness, your true goddess consciousness. You are absolutely capable of doing anything that you want to do. And therefore, I volunteer myself to express that those people who were told that they could never, ever have a garden, well, I'm pleased to express that those individuals that were told such of that thing, and you can insert whatever example one would like, and that could be, there's extreme examples, yet they transcended and they applied the prosperous thought action, and they literally superseded all that was preconceived of them and pre-perceived of them. And therefore, they became the masters of their universe, and they have succeeded, and they're continuing to succeed. And because we don't just stop here, we continue forth and we keep acquiring. Just like Lakshmi, if she wears one gold necklace with rubies, why not 100 more with various beautiful sacred gems? Why not, right? Why does the Pope have just gorgeous ruby-encrusted shoes? Why not have various crowns and scepters and cloaks, and which are just fabulously created, correct? Why not in a temple or a synagogue or an altar in one's personal space? Just like when God said that, create a beautiful room for me, right? Celebrate me in my honor. And in that most perfect state in which we all can achieve, this applies to no matter what you do, whatever you like to do, whatever your goals are, no matter what anyone has said to anyone up until this point that does not serve their highest good, this is where we transcend and dissolve. And from that opposite of the auspicious frequency, and we literally call in and invoke and implore the laws of increase, the dynamic laws of the supply and deliverance from God through God, in which we are a representation of God.
Actually, I was just thinking about this, and what about Jesus? This is not a religious show, but we're just saying, Jesus, if he was falsely humble, could he have done his healings?
Absolutely not. Because if he was falsely humble, then if I were to go to him and speak of all of the miraculous healings in which he performed, and there are, I could really truly go on, and he would say, oh, no, I just don't think that I can do that. I don't think I can resurrect Lazarus. I don't think that I can heal Simon. I don't think that I can do and perform any of these miracles. No. I don't think that I can apply the law of increase and create beyond abundant loaves of bread and wine for my fellow people. So he had to apply. And that's a beautiful question. And it's so highly significant. And so he had to apply in that magical, which he is magical, and in the mystical body of Jesus, an emanation of God our Father, that so much aligned in which I'm doing my Father's work. How can he do his Father's work? I'm here to do my Father's work. I come to bear good news. So how could he bear such good news and to do my Father's work if he did not have that supernatural intelligence, of course, and if he was not tapped into his Father's divine supply of that majesty and of those beyond supernatural abilities? Because Jesus truly was the divine philosopher, the divine architect of many things, as a carpenter, creating everything you could think of in the physical material world, yet also in the supernatural that literally alchemizes into the physical world of how did he create these beautiful loaves of bread when there was only half and one of it, correct? So you bring up a beautiful point, because there has to be a significant amount of confidence and that awareness to transcend the false sense of humbleness. And that is when one speaks, when we exercise our speech, and when we speak of the good news, the good word, and we're here to be about our Father's business, and or, you know, whatever one may ascribe to and believe for themselves. That's everything is beautiful, in which if it is serving in that unlimited realm of positive and enlightenment and of prosperous thought, that is truly all an emanation of the divine universe, in which is a creation, an emanation of an existence of God's creation. So there's much to speak upon that.
And Ray, would you say that people who are confident in themselves, confident in achieving certain results, would be able to take this confidence to whatever work that they are doing and create their own reality of what they want to see happen? So if you all think of yourselves as artists, creating a certain reality. And Ray, what do you think good fortune has to do with this? Because basically good fortune, you're talking as in good luck, attracting good things, being able to manifest. So exercising and flexing your manifestation muscles is a must. So would you ask people to start flexing their manifestation muscles?
Yes, I would definitely impart upon anyone and everyone that the attitudinal construct in which in our neocortex, we have neoplasticity, in which that is part of our, let's say, the muscles in the brain, right? And so with conscious reconditioning, and they state that it takes 21 days to consciously recondition oneself, and that is of the physical and the physiological construct of the anatomical body. Yet when we align that also with the spiritual tenets and the optimism tenets of in which they all coincide cohesively, there is so much of that increased vibration within the self. And it's not just to say to someone that, depending on what they've experienced up until this point and what they have not experienced or what they'd like to experience and transcend, that if I look in the mirror and I say to myself, I love you, I love myself, that sounds simplistic, yes, but that is an, I would say, at times for many, in which they have to believe it, right? They have to believe in that notion that they do truly love themselves, and that they do truly feel that they're beautiful in any way. And just that divine spark of that I deserve goodness, I am good. There is inherent learned behavior, which I've discussed previously, but it is transcending any inherent learned behavior that is not serving the individual up until this point. And one of those notions is whether or not someone has had assertiveness training or not, and everyone wants to boost their confidence in one aspect or another. We could talk about master pianists, grand master pianists who, you know, when they're perfecting themselves, they never think they're perfect enough until they actually think they're perfect in that moment, and therefore they become perfect, correct? And so they are in a notion of that striving for the exponential confidence to achieve their own interpretation of what they deem as perfection. So when we start at an origin level, in which we literally all preface with the, I believe in myself, I want to believe in myself, I believe in myself, I believe in myself, I believe in myself, I can achieve, I can write this novel. I will write this novel no matter what. I will write this novel. I will do it. Well, if someone tells themselves every day, I will, but if they continue to say, I will, I will, I will, eventually they will. I will, I will, I will. And they show up and they apply the thought action with the physical action. Yet if someone is in the misperception of lacking that belief system in themselves, and therefore that also is a tangent of loving themselves enough to believe in themselves, in which this is a common unfortunate circumstance in which this is why we're really applying these principles, is to raise the vibration within everyone that they can achieve, they can transcend and apply confidence. And even if it starts with, I believe in myself, I love myself, wow, I really can win, I really can write this novel, I really can get this promotion, I really can acquire this position, I really can grow a garden, correct? I really can cook for the first time, and I've never cooked in my life. Anything that might apply to someone in which all of those attitudinal pretenses, correct? With the muscles of the spirit muscles, the spirit muscles that apply with the cognitive muscles and the muscles that apply with the energetic muscles, in which you're toning yourself. You're toning yourself consistently to where you now, where you could lift 100 pounds, then tomorrow and the next day and the next day, you're achieving where you can exponentially achieve to lift 1,000 pounds. And so that is the goal, where we can all start here. And there's this beautiful phrase in which, you know, a single step of a journey starts now, correct? So we can all start now. And if we're already on Mount Kilimanjaro, well, then we can climb the next one. If we want to fly to the pyramids of Giza, then so be it. Anything is possible. And that is the one thing that literally dissolves any preconceived notion of the lack of confidence. Well, we can start now, and we can instill that you are worthy, that you can achieve, and that God is plentiful, and that God wants us to feel worthy, because we're so worthy. Why are we here unless we were worthy of existing?
So Ray, me Sugandhi, I was in India and traveling through some forests where they have elephants and other animals that are so-called dangerous. We even saw monkeys and peacocks. I was with my parents. And here we are driving, I'm driving, and driving for hours and hours and hours. And we've been on a previous trip also. We did not see any elephants, even though it kept saying elephant crossing, but we didn't see any elephants. Then while returning back down the mountains, these forests, my mother and I started saying, "Elephants, we want to see you. We want to see you. We haven't seen you. We want to see you." And then my mother started singing a song about Ganesha, who is, you know, the elephant-headed god who removes obstacles. And you would not believe, in the next 10 minutes, a bunch of elephants came out. They revealed themselves. And then after we saw them, we took some videos. Then the elephants went about their jolly way into the forest back again. We felt as if we called them and they appeared. What do you think that is, Riri? How does this happen? How does this even happen?
Well, thank you for sharing that. As you know how much I revere the animal kingdom, I love and adore every animal. I am so pleased to hear this from you. I would ascribe that to a series of principles, but the main one that comes to mind is essentially morphic resonance. And the when you are aligned with the divine and you are telepathically communicating with God's creatures, in which God's creatures and elephants, if everyone knows or if they do not know, elephants consist of a very, very, very spectacular cognitive system in their formulations, in which therefore they have declared such a statement as the analogy of, you have a memory like an elephant, right? So elephants are extremely divinely intelligent beings, as all beings are intelligent, correct? Yet in that application of that thought process, the ethers in which your minds, your spirit minds, your higher consciousness was imparting and inviting into action, that I love you, elephant. You are such a sacred treasure of a being. And I love you. I want to see you. I want to say hello to you. Please come say hello. Please come say hello. And then an abundance of gorgeous elephants just start to appear because they heard your call, whether it was silently, telepathically, or even if they heard through the whispers of the Indian forest. In any which way, that morphic resonance arised, and therefore it became a factual component to the elephants that we are being welcomed, we are being called forth by these beautiful humans, in which, wow, thank you for noticing us. Thank you for recognizing us. Thank you for the acclaim and for the praise of our existence. Thank you. We also want to reciprocate and honor Sugandhi and her beautiful mother's existence as well. That is a beautiful interpretation and deliverance of the correlation of the beautiful animal kingdom and the kingdom of man and the kingdom of the specter of when in which you mentioned Ganesh, right? The dissolving of obstacles and transcending limitations. And so these beautiful sacred beings, so gargantuanly just benefic and just so pure and innocent and so powerful. And when they come out and they're so confident in their expressions and the way in which they're constructed in their minds, where they behold the confidence to also come out and respond to your call. So I would describe as to just one essential principle of that would be the morphic resonance and the call upon that I'm being revered and I can feel that you're seeking me out of goodness. You are seeking me in my beautiful elephant existence, that we share a commonality and that we share in the splendor of God's bounty, of God's beautiful creation, in which no one can deny, I mean, that animals are an existence that is just beyond. We could go archaeologically, we could go through, you know, biologically, through the genesis of the creations. We could discuss across the board so many context that could apply, but in the way in which the spiritual and the physical combine, that is just proof of the telepathy that exists. And that is when the right thought action exists. And therefore, if someone also applies that into their conscious state of, you know, I'm confident, I have a goal. I'm confident, I have a goal. I would like to receive that email, that telecommunication from someone, they're calling that in. Or if they're like, I want to be really well received, so I'm going to make it happen, and that also relates. So there is a correlation there.
That's amazingly well explained, Ray. That's where you're so good. You're so good at explaining things to us. And the way that me, myself, and I, we're a group, the way that Sugandhi Iyer and the way that Ray Trujillo or my parents, the way that we all address situations and the way we solve them is different from the way a regular person, untrained in the laws of joyful manifestation, the principles of joyful manifestation and good fortune, the way that somebody who knows all this solves something is different from the way someone else would solve it. For example, somebody else might solve it in a confrontational way. I'm not saying that all confrontation is bad. This is not about judgment, but it's just the way that somebody addresses something or the way that somebody solves something shows where they are coming from. So a mind that is trained in good fortune and joyful manifestation would address something in a certain way vis-a-vis somebody else who is trained in the normal relationship methods of mankind. What would you say, Ray? I know we're at the end of the show, but if you want to say something before we're off, of course, we are going to be meeting again in a couple of weeks. Next week, the Joyful Manifestation Show, Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, standard time. But Ray, if you have something to tell us before we fade off.
Of course. Well, just to help assist with the conscious reconditioning of what has been perhaps preconceived in anyone, always make room for the goodness, that be in a constant process of elimination of anything that does not serve your highest good into your future, because we all have a future that is divinely appointed to us in which it is infinite. We're eternal beings and we are under the universal abundance that is literally everywhere for all of us. And so when you make room for everything that you've prayed for, that you've affirmed for, that you've worked for, and that you so strongly desire, Hence, you're casting away any of the former precepts of your former mind, and you're renewing, and you're in the regeneration archetype of the mind in this moment forward, in which that emanation from your auric field and from your quantum resonance, perhaps, and morphic resonance, that is attracting the goodness and dissolving anything that is the opposite of the auspicious. And so apply those conscious precepts of the new tenets of the new mind, in which God creates all new through God and through the Holy Spirit, through the universe, through all that is of the cosmic and Christ consciousness and positivity. There's always room for regeneration and renewal, no matter what, always and forevermore.
Thank you so much, Ray. You are a wonderful, wonderful person. I know you personally for a little bit now, and we love what you bring to the show. And honestly, the show is meant for you. This is Sugandhi Iyer and Ray Trujillo, and we are signing off today. We will meet again next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on this network for the Joyful Manifestation Show, and hoping to bring wonderful, wonderful things and wonderful, wonderful synchronicities and good fortune into your life. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful rest of the day.